From South Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., and many points in between, this is Political Talk on AnnenbergRadio.org and NeonTommy.com. I'm Max Schwartz with Katie Gregg and Jenna DeKnight. Today on Political Talk, drones. The United States is using them in more places than before. But should we, and do they make a difference? Benghazi. Lawmakers are putting the victims of the 2012 attack in the spotlight. What are the issues now? And money and politics from the local to the national levels. We discuss the latest developments. Fighting U.S. drones now go where U.S. drones have never gone before, Africa. On Monday, a drone attack reportedly killed a member of the terrorist group Al-Shabaab in Somalia. Al-Shabaab is the group behind the Kenyan Mall attack, and they are denying that bomb maker Ibrahim Ali was killed. In the Middle East, Pakistan is trying to get the U.S. to stop drone strikes in that country. But we have questions before us, one of which is it right to be using drones, and should we be using drones against suspected terrorists? Katie?
I'm kind of conflicted about this because, obviously, I don't support any innocent civilians possibly being killed. But at the same time, I think that the U.S. is really calculated in when they used the drones. And I think there was a report recently that showed only 3% of the people killed in Pakistan drone attacks were civilians.
I think I'm for it.
I'm not clear exactly on that, but I think I'm for it.
Because there's still, no matter where you do it, there's always going to be the risk of causing a civilian life.
But exactly.
There is, even if you have a person, if you have troops on the ground. Jenna, what are your thoughts?
I think it's kind of like a foggy subject because there are, you know, innocent people getting killed in the matter, but like Katie said, with the recent findings, it's really far fewer of a percentage than was recently reported or like was previously thought at only 3%. I guess since it is, kind of getting rid of terrorists.
And that 3% was suspected to be a little bit low.
Okay.
So don't. Yeah.
Well, then I have.
Well, because previously it was 13.5. And so now that they found 3%, mm-hmm. I mean, that is obviously a lot better,
yeah.
Less lives lost.
I think you're always going to have the risk of civilian casualties. But I have another question for you, and that is, and then I'll give my opinion. Do you believe that eventually we're only going to be in a stage of drone warfare because that is the 21st century warfare?
I don't know.
Katie?
I have no idea. I think it's possible, but... Yeah, I mean, I think it could be possible.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I think, frankly, it's okay to use drones instead of our military because then you're not risking a military life. And I do have issues, though, when they're going after American citizens and when they don't for sure know the target. But ultimately, I think drones are the future of warfare because that brings warfare into the 21st century. And I bring up American citizens. Where do you stand on the use of drones against U.S. citizens in other countries who are terrorists?
Oh, drone usage against us.
Against U.S. citizens who are terrorists in other countries.
God, that's definitely a terrifying thing because, likewise, I mean, that could affect, you know, innocent
civilians.
Any
terrorist is a terrifying thing. But what is your position on the use against drones on U.S. citizens who are in foreign countries?
What I meant by that is just that we've never had a war front in our territory. Or at least not for centuries.
I'm talking about U.S. citizens
in Yemen, and
who are terrorists to the U.S.
Yes.
I think that's fair.
So you think we can go? You think that a person who is supposed to get by law a trial by jury, and a person who by law is supposed to have a right, who has the right to a fair and speedy trial, and who has the right to an attorney, is just allowed to be killed without going before a court martial even?
I mean, you do make good points in that. They're not in America, right?
It doesn't matter whether they're in America or not. It's a matter of that they're U.S. citizens, and they have the protections of the United States Constitution.
Yeah. I mean, that's a valid point. I hadn't thought about
We extradite people to other countries. I mean, they should be willing to extradite that person to the United States. What I especially don't like is that when we go after these American citizens in foreign countries and we don't even release the paperwork putting them on the terrorist list, we don't even release the paperwork that orders said drone attacks. Any more comments on the U.S. citizen issue?
I think you made pretty valid points in that, yeah.
And I want to talk about Pakistan because it's been reported that in the meeting between the prime... Pakistani Prime Minister and President Obama last week that the Prime Minister Sharif basically begged to stop drone strikes in his country. Mm-hmm. Do you think we should stop drone strikes in Pakistan?
Well, I think the issue in Pakistan is that it's making the U.S. seem like it's striking fear in the Pakistani people. The way they think of the U.S. now with all the drone strikes is the way they would think of another terrorist organization. So I don't think that the U.S. wants to appear in that way.
Do you think we should stop, yes or no?
No, not if it's calculated.
Jenna?
Yeah, I mean, it's to protect our country and enforce safety, but I mean, I can never really say whether or not I can't say that I'm in support of killing people in general. Okay, but one thing I did want to ask you was, do you think that the United States is setting a really dangerous precedent by using drones?
Absolutely. As I said earlier, drones are the future of warfare, and I think that other countries will use drones as warfare. I think that if the United States was droned on, we would go and bomb the you-know-what out of the country that droned us. So yeah. I think that other countries technically have the right to do that to us. And I do think that, we do know that Iran does have a drone. They built it off of the one that they supposedly hacked of the United States. Mm-hmm. So that danger is really out there, and it is certainly significant. Whether the Iranians can actually use it is another story. Yeah. But they do have one.
Right.
So moving on now, we're going to talk about the 2012 attack on the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi. And for those of you that want to know why we're talking about this again, please feel free to email politicaltalkpodcast@gmail.com. So the attack is in the news again, but this time it is the victims who are in the spotlight. Republicans are upset that there are no suspects on the Rewards for Justice list, which is put together by the State Department. And yesterday, on Wednesday the 30th, South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said he would prevent Obama's appointments from getting a vote on the Senate floor until the victims come before the Senate. I don't mean to be insensitive of the attack or the victims, but isn't this a little bit ridiculous?
Not at all.
Why?
I think that since none of these suspects are listed on the Rewards for Justice program, it's kind of insulting to the people who were...
Have you considered the fact that possibly the Rewards for Justice program, they're out of money for it? There's no more people. They can't put any more people on the list due to monetary constraints.
Have they come out and said?
They haven't.
Because so far I haven't heard anything.
They have not said that, but just because they haven't said it doesn't mean that.
Well, they could say that if that was what was going on. I think that would be a pretty easy explanation, right?
They could, but the Obama's administration is trying to keep this on the down low for some reason.
Probably because they think that what happened is wrong. I don't know.
I'm sure that they do think what was happening is wrong, but I don't think that Obama can micromanage every corner of the government and know when to send Marines to the proper area. We don't know for sure whether Hillary Clinton knew about whether added security was requested, so we can't really argue that point because it's not known.
There's also the issue of the fact that, you know, the Obama administration tried to cover it up after the fact.
They didn't try to cover it up. They were knowing what given the intelligence at the time, and they thought that at the time they came out with the statement that it was because of that movie.
But what about the survivors of the attack who came out and testified right after? Wouldn't they have known that?
Well, the survivors of the attack haven't testified.
They talked to, they were debriefed by FBI operatives 48 hours after the attack.
But they didn't testify before Congress, which is what Lindsey Graham's issue is, and the Obama administration wants to keep them from testifying
the
before Congress.
Wouldn't the FBI had shown the reports to the Obama administration? You think that Obama did not have access to those?
I'm not saying I don't know that they have access to, but I don't know why they would have showed him. As one of Reagan's former advisors was quoted in the New York Times the other day and said that when there's bad news, you keep it from the president, and when there's good news, you give it to the president. Whether that has anything to do with this, I don't know. And I'm not going to quote something I said before because it defeats the purpose of the quote. But anyways, I just want to say that I honestly don't believe it's that big of an issue because even though they're not on the list, it doesn't say anything that it's not a terrorist attack, and it just could possibly mean that the Obama administration is trying to go about this another way.
I just think that it's a lack of effort to try to find.
I don't think it's a lack of effort at all. Because we have people searching for it, and we have suspects' names. So I mean, why does getting monetary value for it do anything?
It gives incentive to people who have information about it.
Okay.
Does it not?
I mean, that's definitely true, but...
Right. So wouldn't people who were trying to catch for killing U.S. Citizens, wouldn't we want to do as much as we possibly can to incentivize people talking about it, giving us information about it?
I mean, that certainly could be argued, but I don't think it's a big enough issue for us. I think we're making too big of a deal out of nothing, frankly.
Well, these suspects were leading Al-Qaeda members, so...
Do we know that?
Well, they're suspected to be.
Yes, but my point being that we know this is a terrorist attack. We know that the Obama administration is trying to find the culprits.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there are now being reforms within the State Department. Jenna, any closing comments?
No, I actually think your argument was really good on both hands. So.
And one question to start things off is, what do Bernie Madoff and Jesse Jackson Jr. now have in common? The answer? They are now fellow inmates at the same federal prison in North Carolina. Jackson started his 30-month sentence for taking $750,000 from campaign funds and spending it on personal luxuries. On the local side, Los Angeles City Council President Herb Wesson Jr. wants to increase the amount of money and gifts people who are not lobbyists can spend on members of the city council. The increased limit would be $150, up from $100. Wesson's idea goes against the Ethics Commission. So, a few questions now. When are the politicians who don't get what their job is about going to get it and realize that they don't need money, or that politicians aren't supposed to make lots of money?
I just think that an excess amount of money has really become, you know, part of kind of the game, and just like a sense of bribery and, like, you know, politicians.
Well, this isn't, let's set the record straight. This isn't bribery. This is nothing illegal.
Right. No, I know.
There may be writing on the wall somewhere, but we're not going to conclude that here.
I just think in general there's been an excess of, you know, luxury accommodations and things that politicians have acquired throughout the years, and it's just become kind of an issue. But I do think that with increasing the spending limit,
the gift limit.
The gift limit. It would just kind of, wouldn't it decrease, like, fines that would be received by, because people,
well, I mean,
agencies
the,
were
the,
having
the
to
ultimate,
fine.
The ultimate thought would be that the, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there were fines if you went over the limit or couldn't have been accepted. But I mean, I personally think that they want to increase this for their own personal gain, which isn't what politics is about.
I kind of think that adding $50 onto the gift limit, I mean, it's $50.
So you're telling me.
Well, here's what I'm saying is that think about business people go out to dinners all the time to talk about business that they're doing together. It's kind of the same idea of going out somewhere.
No, it's not. It's really not.
What is it then? What's the difference?
Because one, it's not a dinner. It's an actual gift. And you get in a businessman. So fine. Let's say I'm with Contractor X, and Contractor X wants to go build a new city building somewhere downtown. I go give Herb Wesson a $150 gift. Do you think that increases my chance of getting that contract? Absolutely it does.
I guess.
Yeah, but it's the same thing as taking a client out to dinner and, like, trying to, like, coax them and, like, persuade.
But my point being that this is not how government should be run. You should not be running government off of gifts. There should not be anything to do with favors from contractors or any members of the public. The point of politicians were to represent the public and to be public servants. Nowhere does it state in any document that politicians are supposed to make lots of money. When
Correct.
Are they going to get that?
Maybe never.
Exactly my point. That
it's just an issue of ethics, and
but I have a real issue that Herb Wesson is doing this. One, because it's so close to the holiday season. Coincidence? I think not. You don't have contractors mentioned at all, and you have him specifically going against the Ethics Commission. And the Ethics Commission, by the way, has no comment. I have a problem with that.
Why not? Do you think?
Why not? Probably because they can't comment. They're under the auspices of the city council. There's not much action they can take, but I'm waiting to hear back from them, so we'll see.
Why not, though? Wouldn't it be their job to be the ones, like, more public about it and more vocal
about... Yes, it's their job to regulate everything, but ultimately it's the city council's decision what the rules are, and their job is just to regulate the rules.
Okay. Because they should be the voice that's coming up.
Oh, absolutely, but they're not.
Cracking down.
Any closing comments?
I don't think so.
Okay. With that, thank you very much for listening to Political Talk. We would like to thank Joel Zink, our engineer, and Karen Lowe and Willis Heidenberg, the Annenberg Radio News co-faculty advisors, for all of their help. From the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism, I'm Max Schwartz, along with Katie Gregg and Jenna DeKnight. We hope to have you back next week, but in the meantime, you can reach us at politicaltalkpodcast@gmail.com and on Twitter by using the hashtag #PoliticalTalkPodcast, and please use the Twitter right now. We're the only ones tweeting. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Happy Halloween!